Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Let's transport ourselves off for a little while now. Scandinavia is getting more and more popular as a travel destination, I think especially for short breaks. So we're going to get the inside track now from a local journalist, Philip O'Connor. Good morning to you in Norway.
Good morning, Brendan. I'm actually in Stockholm, Sweden this morning.
I can't keep up with you. You see, people do kind of have the Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden and Norway. It's all kind of mushed together in our heads. Talk us briefly through the three countries and the difference between them.
Well, of course, there's a lot of similarities in terms of the people, in terms of the language and that kind of thing, but they are very, very different places, Brendan. Denmark, of course, connected to mainland Europe there, a much flatter country than what Sweden would be. Sweden has an incredible landscape as well. Down in the south, you have the beautiful green fields that would remind you of Ireland, and then up the rugged coast and towards the mountains of the Arctic Circle. Norway is basically a huge collection of fjords and mountains and beautiful scenery up there as well. And of course, the people are very different. I was wondering how I was going to describe them to you.
Yeah.
And I was going to describe maybe the Danish people are like the Cork people back home in Ireland there. You know, they're very sure of themselves, and if they have an opinion, they'll share it with you. The Norwegian people would be like Mayo people, if you like, self-deprecating, but very honest, very open, great crack to be around. And I think I'd have to say that the Swedes are like my fellow Dubs, very interesting people, but by Jesus, there's a few notions here right enough.
Okay. So listen, you also want to mention Finland, which is not technically Scandinavia, but you're a big fan, aren't you?
I am indeed. Finland is very, very different. They have nothing in common in terms of the language. It's closer to Hungarian and Estonian than what it is to the Nordic languages. But it's also a fascinating place. It's been involved in the Second World War, fighting both the Germans and the Russians. And it is an amazing place culturally, in terms of food, in terms of that. And it's also a place, believe it or not, where the sport of hurling has been growing incredibly over the last year. I think at the last count, there was probably 5 hurling clubs there. So that's definitely a place that's worth a visit if you're from Kilkenny.
Okay, so I suppose short city breaks can be the first Scandinavian foray for a lot of people. So talk us through that then. Copenhagen in Denmark is a good one, is it? And it's linked also, is it, to Malmo in Sweden?
Exactly. So it's linked by the bridge that was made famous by a TV series a good few years ago that many of your listeners
would have seen.
Yeah. And I've always sort of recommended that as the sort of the gateway to Scandinavia, if you will, because you can visit one of those two cities. It takes about a half an hour on the Öresund bridge and the train. You can go between the two. So it's a fantastic way to sort of introduce yourself to Scandinavia. And in a short space of time, you can see the sort of the differences. They do share certain things in terms of architecture and that, but the languages, when they're written down, they look similar. But when they're pronounced, they're very, very different. So if you start on the Danish side of the bridge, there's a place called Nyhamn there in Copenhagen, which is absolutely beautiful. It's basically a little harbour area. Now, it is one of those tourist traps, kind of like our own Temple Bar. So you'll find that the prices sort of rise accordingly. But there's some lovely, beautiful back streets around there, tourist shops, craft shops, places that you can eat and drink for a reasonable price. If you're out on Nyhamn looking over the water, you can expect to pay a little bit more. But it's only a short walk from there then to the central station in Copenhagen, where you can jump on the train and be across the Öresund and into Malmö in about a half an hour. And that's also a fascinating city because you have an awful lot of big companies there. You'd have a lot of Irish people who work down there building data centres and other large factories down there. But it has a great sort of history in terms of being a sort of a jumping off point between the Swedish and the Danish cultures.
Okay. And then if I'm looking for charming kind of, you know, the view we have of these very picturesque Scandinavian cities, Oslo in Norway or Stockholm in Sweden, would you think?
Do you know what? I'll have to go for Stockholm at that. Now, I'll get back to Oslo, which is also a brilliant place to visit, as is Norway in general. But Stockholm, I think, is the sort of the postcard image of what we have of Scandinavia. The city is basically built on an archipelago. So it's a series of small and not so small islands that are all connected by bridges and by public transport. And when you see sort of, you know, tourist footage of Stockholm, you're usually looking at Gamla Stan, the old town, which is incredibly beautiful. It's been around since maybe the 13, 1400s. And the story goes that Stockholm was actually found. The word stock actually means log in Swedish. And it was found when the Russians were attacking further north of where the city is now. And they packed all their necessary documents into a log and just set it out on the water. And they said, okay, wherever we find this log after this attack, we'll build our new capital city. And that was what they did. So it's an incredibly beautiful part of the country. It's an incredibly beautiful city. You have the Royal Palace there where the king lives. There's plenty of museums. You have the Gustav Vasa Museum is not too far from there, right? either. That's probably the biggest tourist attraction in Scandinavia, Brendan. It was built, it was basically a refloated ship, which sank on its maiden voyage, but they managed to reclaim 95% of the ship, rebuild it in its entirety, and now it's the sort of the central part of a museum. And if history is not your thing, sure, only across the road you have the ABBA Museum, which is also very much worth a visit.
Perfect. Okay. So, tell me a bit about the food. Nordic food obviously has become really trendy, but I think we have an image of cold fish and herrings and dill and stuff like that.
There's an awful lot of that because, of course, with the Nordic climate here, there's an awful lot of stuff that's smoked or that's cured or that's preserved in some way. So around Christmas time here, you'll often find an awful lot of herring. There's so many ways to do herring. It's like the Irish and potatoes. They'll just find new ways of doing them the whole time. So you'll have what's called sill, which is pickled in various ways. Now, that could be with everything from a little bit of Attica spreet to red onions, to peppercorns, to all sorts of mayonnaises and sort of salad-like things as well. So there's an awful lot of that goes on. Gravad lax you'll often see on the menu in Irish restaurants now, which is basically raw salmon that's been cured with sugar and water and various other things. And then there's also a version of it that's called surströmming, which is basically foul fermented herring that I've never eaten because it smells so bad. But also down in all of the Nordic countries basically having a version of the open sandwich. You know the term smörgåsbord basically means sandwich table. And what that is an open sandwich, usually on a dark or rye bread, and it could be anything including herring or cold meats, cured meats, salads, pâtés, all that kind of thing. And especially in Denmark, if you're going to eat, that's definitely one of those things that's worth trying, meat. Exactly. Wild meat like reindeer and boar and that kind of thing is also available.
What's the drinking culture like?
It's a lot different now from when I first came here in 1996, Brendan. There was very little pub culture then. You would have had a few beer halls and that kind of thing. But of course, wherever you go, you'll find Irish pubs, and they have grown, and a beer drinking culture has grown up with that. It can still be quite expensive, but I'd have to say that Irish prices have very much caught up with Scandinavian prices. You have to be very, very careful, though, if you're arriving over here and you think, okay, we're here for a weekend. Off-licences in these places, apart from in Denmark, in Norway, Sweden and Finland, the off-licences are owned and controlled by the state. So any beer that's stronger than about 3.5-4%, you can't buy that on the supermarket shelves, and you can rarely get a bottle of wine on a Sunday. So you have to plan for those things. But there is a sort of an alcohol drinking culture. If you go back to the 1800s, it was very much strong spirits that were made from potatoes, distilled from potatoes were the thing. So and beers tend to be an awful lot stronger here. So if you're used to drinking pints of stout back home, beers here tend to be between 5-5.5%. So take it easy.
Exactly. Now, I've only left a minute for natural beauty, which is, of course, a huge part of the whole experience. Where should people who want to get the great outdoors at its best, where should they go?
I think that's where you head to Norway, Brendan. I was talking to the wonderful Sue from your production team during the week, and I was saying I was headed up to Bodø, which is just inside the Arctic Circle. Their local football team is playing in the Champions League this year, and I mentioned to her that you would see the Nordic Lights. And about half an hour after I spoke to her, I jumped on a plane, and when I got up there later that evening, there were the Northern Lights to welcome me. So Norway's tremendous natural beauty, the fjords, and it really doesn't matter what the weather is like. Even in weather like Storm Amy, which we're all battening down the hatches for here, it's just a tremendously beautiful place, winter or summer, rain or shine. So Norway's definitely the place to go, and it has very much a sort of a fresh air culture. People love to be out there, and remember, the Scandinavians say that there's no such thing as bad weather, there's only bad clothing. So dress well and you'll enjoy
it. And briefly, what's the weather like at this time of year? Is this a good time to go?
This is a brilliant time of year to go because there's four distinct seasons here, and at the moment now you will get the weather in Bodø was lovely when I was up there. Now I only came back yesterday evening. It gets quite windy along the Norwegian coast, but the weather is beautiful, and the colder it gets now, it gets even more beautiful now when the snow starts to fall in October or November. So as long as you remember to dress right and remember good solid shoes, you'll be able to put up with it no matter what happens.
Philip O'Connor in Sweden, that sounds very appealing. Thank you very much.